What's up, AfterBuzzers? Welcome back to another after show for Leah Remini's Scientology and the Aftermath. Today we're going to be discussing Season 3, Episode 2, Spies Like Us. We'll be talking about the church's fair game policy, noisy investigation tactics, and some news regarding Tom Cruise's membership. Stay tuned.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Somebody's watching me. I feel like a little bit bad using this song.
Why? It's like their theme song.
You're right. Unfortunately, it is like their theme song. What is up, you guys? Welcome back to another episode of Leah Remini's Scientology in the Aftermath here on AfterBuzz TV. I am your host, Taylor Gaze, and I'm joined by two lovely panelists today.
Yes, I am Jackie Ray.
And I am Sean Paul Payton.
Sean, we are so excited to have you.
I'm glad to be here.
Yes, oh my gosh, we're so glad that you're here too. And he's going to offer some really cool insights. As I said, we're going to be breaking down the fair game policy, the noisy investigation tactics, and we have some special segments at the end as well as some news and gossip, so definitely do not go anywhere. Before we really get into the meat of the episode, let's just briefly go over some of our overall thoughts. And Sean, if you want to kind of talk about what drew you to even being on this panel, just so people kind of get an idea of who you are.
Well, it's very interesting to me because I was in the church for a couple of years. And, you know, I went through auditing. I went through some of the courses. While I was there, all the people were very pleasant. But I want to see what this show is all about so that I can try to... I just want to give, like, an educated perspective and see where it goes.
Yeah, we're super excited to have in-depth perspective and all of that. Jackie, what did you think of this episode kind of as compared to last week's?
You know, I have to say that I was moved more mm-hmm. for this episode. Like, I was almost drawn to tears at the end because I just... On a personal level, I felt like, you know, if all of us really had this whole, I'm going to stand up for what's right no matter what. Like, I just felt like that was a really good overall theme for the show, so I was moved. And then, you know, of course, Sean being here, I wanted to see if this is actually going to become his theme song.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I agree with you. The ending, we'll get to that a little bit later, but it was so, so powerful.
Right.
And just seeing all of them, because these are real people. Like, this is their real lives, and it's just insane to think about the lengths that, you know, this organization goes to kind of intimidate and keep people quiet and things like that.
Exactly.
Before we get too far into, because I think that the main sort of idea of this was the spying and the private investigations.
Right.
Let's talk a little bit about the tax exemption status, because they did touch on that a little bit towards the beginning. So I thought it was really interesting how, like, the theory behind how they actually got this status, because they don't meet necessarily all of the criteria to be tax exempt, as we kind of have learned, you know, through this program. They're at least bending some of the rules and bending some of the standards that they kind of have to uphold. But it was said in this episode that they have gone after individual IRS agents, not the group as a whole, but individual ones trying to kind of, mess up their reputation, saying they have drinking problems, saying they're having financial problems. Were you surprised at them sort of targeting individual people? Like, did you think that they would target the group as a whole? What did you kind of think about that?
I wasn't surprised by that because I think it's smart. You know what I mean? Not that it's ethical, mm-hmm. but it's smart because the IRS is just like any other company. There's specific people who do specific things. So you're not going to want to target the people who are going to audit Joe Schmo. You're going to want to target the people who are specifically going to help you, because, you know, at some point those people are going to be like, yeah, okay, fine. Mm-hmm. You are tax exempt. Leave me alone. You know what I mean? I thought it was genius.
Yeah.
Not ethical.
it seems like just you know, the fact of them being a church, that's why they were trying to go for the tax exemption, and, you know, like they have their practices and standards and so forth, and so that's why they wanted to go for that. And I mean, it is pretty smart in general that if you can get that status, to go ahead and get it, because it makes it so much, you know, less complicated when dealing with the money and how to distribute it for whatever the needs of the church may be.
2,000 lawsuits, though, did seem excessive.
A lot of lawsuits across a lot of years. It mm-hmm. lasted from, like, 84 to 93, they were saying. That's, like, almost an entire decade of just these constant lawsuits, you know, until they got the status. And I also thought it was interesting how they kind of used the media, because we still today see that they're kind of using the media to not like, well, sort of push their propaganda, like billboards and things, and they would like take out ads against the IRS and different IRS agents and sort of using, you know, the newspapers. And they're very savvy when it comes to marketing. Absolutely. I think we've discussed that before too.
Mm-hmm. I think what gets tricky too is like, so when I was in the church, what I had learned was that one of the important things was like knowing who you can trust. Mm-hmm. And they have made some points where even with our own government, there have been issues from time to time where the American people had thought one thing, but really another thing was going on. So I think too, that's also why when they needed to go against the FBI, that's why they went so hard, because it's almost like you have like these two powerful organizations, and they're both going to throw everything that they've got at each other to try and get what they want.
However, when you think of a church, you're not theoretically supposed to think of it as a powerful organization. You're mm-hmm. supposed to think mm-hmm. of it as a religion that enlightens people, that makes people better, that gives back to the community. So,
but Christianity even is a powerful organization.
Yes, but theoretically, Christianity holds up to the IRS standards. They give back to the community. You mm-hmm. know what I mean? They have an actual deity that they pray to. These are actual things that right. the IRS has laid out that makes you a church.
Right, and the Church of Scientology also has their programs like Narconon where they do give back. And that's to try to help people to get rid of their nicotine addictions and cravings and so forth.
So who's their deity? Who's their God?
Well, there's seven different standards that they have of beliefs, and I forget, it's like there's seven levels of. It's like there's you at the individual level, and then there's the your family, and then there's your group of people that you surround, like your community, and then there's your group of people as well as the animals that are on the planet, and then also I think it goes as far as the seventh level of being, which I think that's where it goes to the supreme being, and that's where you get into spirituality and the possible existence of God. But they don't specifically name a God or like saying Jesus or anyone else, but that is where they bring in the spiritual element into the church, so that they do have legitimate claims towards being a church.
Yeah, it seems like more of a philosophy than a religion.
Yeah, I think that part definitely gets hazy. But mm-hmm. the thing that we discussed a lot in this episode was like the actual money, and I agree with you, Sean. Like, they do definitely have programs that they do and that they kind of present to the public. Mm-hmm. I think that the main thing that they were trying to expose in this actual episode is, like, while they may be putting some money towards those programs, they're putting a lot of money towards sort of, like, these harassing people and noisy investigations and things like that, which we'll get into in just a second. Before we do that, how about you tell us a little bit about what's happening at AfterBuzz?
Absolutely. Well, hey, AfterBuzzers. On a lighter note, our network produces after shows for nearly all of your favorite TV shows, from dramas, reality TV, sci-fi, and more. There is no network that works harder to serve television fans, but we need your help. We're asking that you please subscribe to one or more of our YouTube channels. By subscribing to our channel, YouTube will suggest content that's tailor-made for you, and you'll help AfterBuzz continue to grow. And if you're worried about pesky notifications, don't be, because they're optional. So, hit that subscribe button now for this channel, and check out our other AfterBuzz YouTube channels as well. Let us know you did so in the comments, and we'll thank you on air. For now, thanks for being the best fans and for helping us be the ESPN of TV Talk.
Yes, thank you guys so much, and we really appreciate all of you guys watching last week, and I know some of you guys left comments there. We definitely read them all, and know that you can also listen to us on iTunes, listen to us on Spotify, rate us 5 stars on iTunes, and hop in the live chat if you're watching this live, because we want to hear your comments and interact with you there. So let's move on a little bit. Let's just quickly go over the definition of sort of fair game and like fair game status and things like that, because that sort of branches off from a piece of, I guess, sort of legislation or doctrine within Scientology. That's the HCO, Manual of Justice. And it basically says that you can go to pretty much any length to spy on people who have left the church, enemies of the church, any SP, which is a suppressive person. And they kind of delved into what an SP was, someone who commits these heinous acts, like they were using examples like Hitler and like dictators and things like this. But we later learned that they're using this term very, very loosely, and these SPs are just like normal people who have kind of left the church, and they're kind of abusing this term. What did you guys think of that revelation of what an SP, what they said it was versus what they were actually like putting into action that it was?
I mean, I think if you grew up in the church, it's just second nature to you. Mm. You believe that. You believe that. And I think that goes, you know, back to what Sean said, I think that goes for any religion. No matter what religion you're in, whatever you're indoctrinated with, it's very hard for you to believe that people who fall outside of that are good people, because you believe that your religion is where all genuinely good people dwell. You know, so I wasn't surprised by that. I was surprised by, you know, I haven't heard of any other religion, you know, just literally going through your trash because they're afraid of what you might say. I think when you're in any religion, you know, I think you should be able to stand up to certain criticisms. You should be able to stand up to certain questions. And the fact that you're fearful that you can't, huge red flag.
Yeah, so, definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
I think that when it comes to the SPs, basically the suppressive person is the anti-person. They're the anti-social person. They're the person that's not for life in the church. They're for death and destruction. Mm-hmm. And because of a person being labeled that way, that is what causes the church to go so strong against them, because they're the enemy of life and survival. In Scientology, the biggest thing that they're focused on is survival on different levels. And so that's where you go back to that survival on the individual level, the family level. And then if you have somebody that's a suppressive person, which would be an enemy of the church, or somebody that would attack the church or attack L. Ron Hubbard, that's when the church says this is somebody that must be stopped. So we either have to disconnect from them, or we have to find some way to just completely eradicate them so that they don't cause any more interference and trouble. And that's where you get so many actions that seem pretty extreme. But you also have to remember too that in our history with different religions and their fights, like, people have died for religion, even to this day they still do. And just historically it can get pretty rough when it comes to religions defending their God and their way. And so, like, that's all to say, that's how you can see, you can understand a little bit more why they go that route.
Yeah, but I think that shouldn't we have evolved? Because when people were dying for religion,
we should, but it seems like we're not. Like, all across the world, we're still having all of these chaotic problems and conflicts. And one of the things that I have to say, that I still want hope for Scientology to become something good, because, like, when I was actually in the church taking classes, I could see how some of the stuff that was taught could be used as techniques and technology to actually make the world better and make people better. Because I do believe that while I was in the church, I was able to learn certain ways of interacting with people to make life more efficient and more easily handle problems. But it's just that I think that sometimes we get people involved in every religion that take it the wrong way, whether it be somebody that came after the founder, or whether it be the founder, whether it be people that influenced the founder. And it's like, when can we get to a point to where we can just, like, stop all this fighting and attacking each other and actually use religion the way that it should be used to help people? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think that you're right. I think that there could be, you know, like you said, definitely, it's the way that you interpret some of these things. And I think that the fact that the leadership is so corrupt in this organization, like, that's, if, you know, you have to cut off the head of the snake, you know.
But the head of the snake is the founder.
He's the creator. Yeah, so they're at the top, so yeah, it's like, so It's difficult. I don't want to go too far. I don't want to go too far off topic. But let's like actually talk about one of the main people that they interviewed with Sierra Westerman. So she was actually a PI for a couple of years, which I thought was really interesting because we usually kind of interview people who were in the church and left the church, but she was actually sort of on the other side of things. So it was really interesting to see her perspective, I thought. So she was in college training to be a private investigator when she sort of got drawn into this organization by her, I think it was just her then boyfriend, who's now the father of her child, and was kind of in charge of everything. And she came in at a really interesting time. It's when Anonymous, which I actually remember Anonymous being a group because they've targeted more than just Scientology, but sort of the internet group who wears the masks and is like very much an advocate for free speech and things like that. And she was recruited to go and sort of find out who these people were. What did you guys think of that part of her story?
Again, I think, you know, this is probably going to be a reoccurring theme for me because I truly, in my heart of hearts, I think everything that the Church of Scientology has done is genius. Mm-hmm. I don't think that it's ethical. I don't think it's morally bankrupt, but I think it's genius. And I think that you plucking someone when they're eager, when they're hungry, you know, she's in college to do the very thing that you're saying, hey, I'm going to give you money in college without you even getting your credentials yet. I think it's genius. And I think that it just kind of, they kind of appeal to the human nature that if you can get it at the right time, you know what I mean? That's why last week we talked about actors coming in and then they're hungry. They need this. And you're saying you're going to give me free acting classes and then you have all these amazing actors that are in your... Yes, I want in. I think it's just genius. I mean, I wasn't surprised by her story at all. I was surprised at her knowing that she went out and investigated people and what that means for these people. And now she's going to be on the other side of that. I found that interesting.
Yeah.
Well, with Anonymous, they talked about the right to free speech in the episode. But again, this comes back to them being an enemy of the church. So again, it's the same situation where if you're designated as an enemy of the church, then the church, under the laws and the tactics that are written, is going to come after you and try to get you away because the people in the church believe that you're actually the ones that are trying to destroy the world. So in the eyes of the people that are in the church and hardcore followers of Scientology, they have to do everything they possibly can to get this enemy of the world to go away. So that explains why that's occurring. And then also, as far as ethics go, they teach a lot about ethics when you're in there taking the courses. There's a whole entire course on ethics, and they get you to try to basically understand the pure definition of ethics. But the interesting thing to me, and I want to deviate a little bit, is that I remember reading the 50th Law and hearing something from 50 Cent that really stuck with me. And he said that ethics actually change depending on the culture and the time that you're in and the group that you're in. So when it comes to going off of ethics, it can always change depending on who you're surrounded by. And so then it becomes just a massive confusion all the time. What is the universal law? And therefore, there we go. We have these conflicts that are going on constantly.
I think we all learned the universal law in kindergarten. Do right and be nice. You know what I mean?
That is a good point. But then again, it's like with the Church of Scientology, the belief is that the number one goal that is in the world is to survive.
Yeah.
And so they want to do everything they can to enhance survival. Enemies of the church.
I do want to say real quick, we see some of you guys in the live chat, but you're kind of just letting us talk. We would love to hear from you.
Yeah.
So please dive in. I'm right here. I'm ready. I'll read it. We'll answer your questions, or you can just say we're all crazy. Whatever. It's all good.
Yeah. But let's branch out and talk a little bit about those actual like survival tactics, because they were doing some crazy stuff. I mean, they obviously had the surveillance where they were waiting at people's houses. We kind of saw a little bit of that at the tail end of last week's episode. They were also like going through the garbage. I thought that was one of the most like extreme means kind of doing stuff. I also thought it was like kind of funny how Mike was saying he would like plant different things in there, just like fake notes to fake people
in the poop.
Just to kind of mess with them.
That was really funny.
But it's like they spend so much time trying to decipher that stuff, and they're paying so much money, and that's kind of where the money ties back in. Like, they're paying off garbage men.
Right.
They're spending, like, I think they said $12 million to try to track, you know, keep track of this one, you know, ex-Scientology member who was very high up because he knows all these secrets. And it's like, that's kind of, I mean, they have to. It's like their insurance in a way, which I thought was just crazy. And covering people's cars, you know, with trackers and all of that. Let's quickly talk about Dwayne, who was, of course, Sierra's like boyfriend at the time, who was kind of the head of all of these PIs. So he was arrested after following David's dad. That surprised me a bit.
Why?
I don't
like,
know.
Like, I feel like at this point, what can they do?
I guess I didn't know that David's dad would have been like an enemy. Like, I didn't know that he didn't approve, I guess.
I think it's guilty by association, mm-hmm. you know? And I mean, that, again, I understand that, because if you and I are best friends and you take my side, then you could ultimately start speaking out as well. I think, or even to target me and say, hey, this is a person you care about, you continue this behavior, you're making it bad for them. So now I'm responsible for you in mm-hmm. a way, you know? So I get it. I know you have an opinion. If y'all haven't noticed, he's like, no, let me explain.
So David Miscavige's dad.
I think that's what they said, correct?
There was...
I thought it...
Now, if I remember correctly, and anyone that's watching, feel free to correct me on this, but I thought that his dad actually came out with a book against David Miscavige.
Okay. I thought he did too.
And that would be the reason that David's dad at that point just became an enemy of the church. I don't know the exact specifics of it, but if he did go out against the current leader of the church, then
well, for sure.
You go.
Yes.
That's it right there.
Was Absolutely. It directly against David, or was it just the church?
I can't remember. I thought it was a book that came out and said something like, what was it, like fearless or not fearless, merciless or something like that.
Yeah, you're right.
And
I
so
remember that.
That's mm-hmm. that's going to cause a problem.
Yeah, no, definitely. I guess I hadn't realized that.
Yes,
it must have been a while.
Latrice said he did. He said that.
Okay.
His dad, yep.
Okay,
so,
there
well,
we go.
There
you
you'll have
Latrice.
It.
We appreciate you.
But of course, so... Dwayne kind of thought that he was going away for life. Like, these are pretty serious claims. But, again, this organization has so much power, they eventually kind of got him out of that situation and paid him, like, $360,000 to keep quiet about the whole thing. It's all about, you know, the misappropriation
yes.
of these funds. I quickly want to talk about, before we get into Robert, I want to talk about Paulette's story really
yes.
fast, because I thought that was crazy. They touched on that just a little, and I would love for them to maybe go a little more in depth in her in future weeks. But she was a journalist doing a story about them all the way back in the 70s. So this mm-hmm. is like kind of a while ago. And they actually like took her fingerprints and made a fake bomb threat to try to put her in prison. And nobody really believed that all this stuff was happening because they were a church and had, you know, this reputation as being this like great organization. Just what did you guys think of Paulette's story really quickly?
I'm going to let Sean start this one.
Honestly, on this one, I was going to put a disclaimer out that a lot of this stuff, I haven't done significant research enough to know, like, what's actually true and not. So I don't... This specific story, I can't really comment much on because I don't know what is true. One of the biggest things that the church focuses on is what's true for you is true for you. And if you don't have enough data to really know for sure what the truth is, then you can't really determine at certain points what is true. So it's best to do more research before you move on to the next step. I have to do more research on this.
So we know that the FBI did a raid, and we know that they found documents upon documents saying that however you do it, that they were doing these things, that they were following her. And she had been saying this for years, had spent well over $50,000 in attorney's fees, which they ended up settling. And the church was like, if you dismiss these 19 lawsuits against us, we'll give you this undisclosed amount of money, which last episode she smiled and wouldn't comment on that. So I'm guessing it was significant. But so this is a fact. Like, we know this. We there's certain things that we just know because there is facts about it. I feel like it's taking a notepad or anything that she had her fingerprints on and then writing a bomb. That's terrifying to me.
Yeah.
Because that means that at any point, if you know, for example, if you like, we got to burn these notepads after you're done, you know, because then all of a sudden maybe they could do something disparaging. And then this day and age where security breaches and you can't even use your credit card at Target otherwise, because you know, some, like, everybody's terrified that their personal information will get out. And to be involved in an organization where if you speak out that could happen is terrifying to me. We did have some Andrew Malone asked a question that I want to know. He's like, with all that we know and everything that's been published about Scientology, how are people still joining?
I think it goes back to kind of what you said last week, though. Like, they just...
They snuck in and almost got me.
They snuck in, and it's all about appearances. Like, their appearance, it's glamorous. Their marketing is, like, pristine, and it's just so... They're really good at recruiting.
And I think that's a good question for you, because two years ago, absolutely. We all knew that... We all knew about Scientology, and you joined anyway.
I did not know a thing about Scientology when I moved here. So, this is how you can join. I moved here as an actor, wanting to just, you know, just explore LA and figure out what was going to be great about it, and what's the quickest way that I can succeed, what's the most efficient way that I can succeed. And then, you know, we all have our problems where we're like, why am I so bad at this, why am I forgetting things, why am I forgetting lines, etc. And so of course, you know, my favorite actor is Tom Cruise. My favorite actor is Tom Cruise. A lot of people like him. A lot of people like other famous Scientologists. And so when you hear about the things that either your mentor or your inspiration does, you want to see if you can emulate that somehow. I think that I had gone to something across the street and saw the Church of Scientology... and I decided to go in, and I heard about the free acting workshop or something. And so I went there, and I checked some stuff out. And then while I was there, I was told about, well, here's some ways that you can actually operate more efficiently in life. And so I thought, wow, this is pretty cool. So I'd like to learn more about that. And so they have the option for you to take these courses, you know, just like you'd be taking, you know, classes at acting to get better at acting. Well, what if you could take other supplementary classes that can make you better at life in general and make you more efficient at your acting classes. So that's how you get into it, and then you want to learn more and keep on going, and then, you know, for one reason or the other, you decide maybe it's not for you.
Yeah.
Sounds like a clickbait, you know what
I
mean?
Yeah,
like,
a little bit. For sure. Let's talk a little bit about, sort of, to wrap things up, about Robert Almblad. He's like one of Mike's best friends, and I thought it was really interesting that he was only really started to be targeted after he did start, you know, becoming friends with Mike, even though he was a Scientologist for 45 years and he was in the Sea Org for a couple of those years, pretty close with the Miscavige's, with the high leadership. But it wasn't really until he started to hang out with Mike that they started targeting him. I thought his story was really interesting and, like, very, very sad, because he's this, you know, brilliant inventor. He's invented things like the key cutting machine, the clean ice machine, and he has this, you know, amazing piece of technology to try to combat, you know, bacteria and help keep people healthy. And Scientology has kind of ruined his entire life and ruined his entire career just by scaring off different investors and different, you know, co-workers and corporations that he has to sort of go through to get this to be a thing. What were your guys' thoughts on that?
Personally, it just feels like the center of Scientology is the ego. Because if you are, you know, like Sean said, if your goal is to teach you how to operate more effectively, efficiently, teach you how to better the world. What you don't do is sabotage a man who has invented something that could potentially save thousands of lives just because he's helping somebody you don't agree with. That is the ego, and that has nothing to do with the world. It has nothing to do with betterment. It's just you caring about the propaganda or the ideology that you're pushing forward. So I thought that was very, it was just very profound. I also thought that for him, because he even said that he had never spoke an ill word about Scientology or L. Ron in public or in private. So at this point, he's just a happy-go-lucky Scientologist who's just living his life, trying to invent things, trying to do his own thing. And then he sees this friend, a friend in need. And most religions, the basis of all religions, is do good when you can do good. And here's this person who needs a job. The basic thing that we all need is a job so we can provide for our families, we can provide for ourselves. And he gives this man that, and they turn around and tell him, no, you know, we've gone out of our way to make sure this man can't get a job. You need to stick with us, which, again, is the ego. Keep doing the wrong thing because you're a part of us.
Yeah.
No other reason. None.
I think that, like, after watching this show, like, it makes me, I feel so upset for these people and what they're going through. And it makes me confused because, like, I want to believe that people, just like a lot of, you know, people that have been in the church, I want to believe that there's people in that organization that are trying to actually find ways to help the world. And then when I see stuff like this, like, it just causes confusion for me because it's like, again, what is a way to what is the way to do right in the world? Like, you know, I was born and raised a Christian, and then when I got to college, I was told about all these terrible things about Christianity in the history of Christianity, so then I became agnostic for a little bit. And then somebody told me that, you know, when I moved here that Scientology is an option, and then, like, I see this show, and it's like, I think it's just so hard when people are looking for something to make lives better and it just doesn't happen. You know?
I think I was raised Christian as well, mm-hmm. like devout, hardcore Christian. And so I'm no longer Christian. However, I do see, it's different for me because I can still see the good in Christianity. Mm-hmm. Then I studied Buddhism for a while. Buddhism, I can see the good in. Mm-hmm. I can see the good in just about every religion except for Scientology. Because mm-hmm. Scientology, again, appeals to the ego. And most of these religions appeal to do good for your fellow man. I mean, that's the basic of all. And that's why, you know, I always tell people, whatever your religion is, if it makes you a better person, that's fine. Because they all have the same foundation. They all have the same foundation of do for your fellow man, do no harm. That's the foundation of every religion. It's not the foundation of Scientology.
Mm-hmm. What do you feel? I just want to say this because this we agree this is how I would approach this. What do you feel like the goal of Scientology is?
I feel like I think I've said it. I feel like Scientology, and just based on how they recruited you, how they tried to recruit me, how everyone in the religion speaks about you're a suppressive person if you don't agree with them, they appeal to the ego. And it's a strong ego. Like, only you can save the world. That's not the basis for most religions. Most religions are like, help, period, end of subject. But only Scientologists can save the world.
Well, no. I disagree.
We've
because
seen people say
survival
that.
Is the survival of as many levels on the plane of existence as is possible is the goal of Scientology. That's what they say. And so they want survival on different levels. Like I said, the individual, the family, the sexual, which would be reproduction, you know, and the large community, the spiritual level, and the infinite level. So survival is what they are. That is what they say that their mission is. The tactics, I don't know what to make of with so much that has gone on in this episode. I think we could talk forever about it.
Yeah.
But I
survival at its core, though, egotistical, because if I'm, it's the term survival of the fittest is exactly that. If I'm talking about survival, even if I say I'm talking about survival.
But it's not saying survival of the fittest. It's,
no,
saying,
but I'm just saying, I got to finish the term. So if I say survival of the family, so you can't be talking about suppressive people if you truly believe in survival. Because if you, even if you think that I have fallen outside of your religion, your goal should still be to help.
But yeah, the suppressive people in their opinions, for example, say that this man, and I'm not claiming this at all, but say that this man could have created something to save thousands, would have, because he's a suppressive person, would have instead messed up somehow and ended up killing millions instead. That's the way that they think, and that's why they justify the way that they're doing things. Does that make sense?
That's a little crazy. It makes sense, but the justification, it's just, it's all, I understand what you're saying, mm-hmm. and I understand, like, their messaging. I just think it's corruption. Like, it's just corrupt. Like, the message mm-hmm. is getting lost, and they're almost, like, using these, like, mottos that they have to do all of the stuff that is not really in line with, you know, doing good. It's like becoming.
And their facilities
very much
are
like that.
So beautiful. Like, yeah. There is a part of me, and don't get me wrong, I just want to stay on record. Mm-hmm. If you want to go through my trash, that's fine. I think everyone is certifiably crazy in Scientology. However, I think that they're beautiful facilities. They clearly have the ability to create something beautiful. Because all of their facilities to me are beautiful. All of the, like, I don't know if you've been, I've been trying to get you to go.
I'm not going.
I've been trying. There's one right down the street. Yeah. We can go. But they're so beautiful. You've been inside them.
Mm-hmm.
They're beautiful. And I think that the creative mind is a beautiful thing. And if you can build something that creative, and if you want to help creative people be more successful in their creativity, there's an essence of beauty in that. Mm-hmm. But if you are doing that in an effort to appeal to the ego, then that's when it becomes kind of ugly and tainted.
Yeah. Well, we kind of are really, really short on time. I do want to talk about just at the end, because we kind of touched on it in the teasers, about the really beautiful moment at the end, just where they're all saying, like, thank you for not, you know, turning on me, for not being bought off. I thought that was great. And just, like, highlights how strong these people are to kind of having to go through all of this and still, you know, remaining sort of positive and remaining, like, friends with each other. And I just thought that moment was really, really, really lovely.
That's what I would love to see from all of, well, maybe not the parishioners, because, you know, there are levels, but if all of the executives got together and said, hey, we've been doing it wrong. We have to acknowledge, because that's the only way you can ever move forward in anything in life, is if you acknowledge what's happening, realize it's not right, and move forward.
Yeah.
We acknowledge X, Y, and Z. We're no longer going to do these tactics. We have to acknowledge these things that have been said are true. And we are going to try to be the organization that is beautiful, that can create these beautiful things and can create this beautiful setting for you to come into.
There's one reason that that will probably never happen, and that is because L. Ron Hubbard, as well as David Miscavige and the church, there was one interview where David actually went on to talk to the media, and I saw this interview in the middle of me being in Scientology and being very gusto for it. And in my opinion, at that time, he did an outstanding job of defending Scientology as a Scientologist would want him to. But the problem that the church, him, and L. Ron Hubbard would have is that the media in general has a suppressive tone, and no matter what is said to the media, it will take your words, no matter how good, twist them around, and still just throw dirt on you. So therefore, it is no longer worth the time or effort to talk to the media. So therefore, better off for Scientology to just get its own work done and keep doing things the right way without dealing with the media at all. That is why in this show,
that's the viewpoint,
you almost never see a comment from the Church of Scientology.
No, yes, absolutely.
We do have a few more comments. Mm-hmm. Penny Ritchie says, it's a cult. They do a lot of brainwashing, period. So, okay, Penny, we hear you.
Please keep commenting, everyone.
I do want
to
say,
we want to get interactions on you. This is great.
We do. I want to say hey to my friend Polly all the way from Saipan. He says he has a problem with every organized religion because they all have some dark side. I agree with that. some darker than others. You do not agree. You must tell us why.
No, we are really, really, really short on time.
Okay, this is true.
Let's go right into our special segment. We have so many more weeks of this, and I'm sure we'll keep getting all of these different angles.
You must come back too. You have to stay with us.
Absolutely. Let's go into our special segment really fast. We are every week discussing a sort of celebrity, a very influential person in either the entertainment industry or, any sort of notable industry. This week, fittingly, we are kind of highlighting Tom Cruise
favorite actor, Tom. If you don't like something these guys are saying, reach out to me.
Yeah.
I will help you, brother.
Come on our show. I'm not kidding.
Reach out to me.
But
I will help you.
But just a little bit of background on him. He is still an outspoken advocate for the Church of Scientology and its associated social programs. He became involved with Scientology in 1990 through his first wife, Mamie Rogers. Cruise struggled with dyslexia at an early age and has said that Scientology, specifically the L. Ron Hubbard study tech, helped him overcome dyslexia, which is really interesting.
That sounds great.
However, there was quite a bit of controversy when he criticized actress Brooke Shields for using antidepressants to combat postpartum depression.
I know exactly why that was a huge thing
in the news, because they don't believe in medicine. Like
yes, that. Because they basically, listen, this is where I'm really going to get enthusiastic. Because the way that, look at all the drugs that we have in our society, okay?
Okay, but I'm just going to say, I'm going to cut you off right there, that he has no right to say anything like that to a woman suffering from postpartum depression.
I get what you're saying. That's totally understandable.
That
but
you can't
the reason,
about that.
No, listen, the reason that he was saying that is because that in the Church of Scientology, we're taught that there's so many drugs out in this community. We are over medicated as a society, and the reason that he is so anti-drugs is because of what the whole church stands for against the pharmaceuticals and the overuse of pharmaceuticals in our community that are causing us to be over-drugged. Like, there's a drug for everything, and then there's a drug for the side effects of that drug, and we're operating at such a lower level because of too much reliance on drugs that
he's trying to get away from that. Did he
say that? He's trying to get away from that.
Okay. Yes.
Tom, reach out to me.
Tom, seriously, come defend these. Come defend
this. We have space. You can sit here on the panel. We've got room
for you. DM me, bro. I'll go to your house. We'll talk. No cameras.
Speaking of Tom Cruise, you have some news.
We have some Cruise news.
AfterBuzz TV news.
All right, guys. It seems like old news is new news for us right now, because I know you guys have heard about, Tom Cruise and his relationships. And last week, Valerie Haney talked about her escape, and she recently went on an interview on a local blog, and she said that part of her duties when she was in the Church of Scientology was to interview all potential mates for Tom Cruise.
What?
All potential mates, including Katie Holmes. She went on to say that Tom Cruise was well aware of some of the abuses that happened in the church, and whenever he would come to
allegedly.
Listen, y'all. So when he would come to the church, they would scout out his walking route to make sure that, say, if there was any protesters or anything like that, he wouldn't see anything that was anti-Scientology. Also, that the church was involved. They were asked to facilitate, I'm doing air quotes for our podcast people, they were asked to facilitate the breakup between he and Nicole Kidman.
Wow, and there's that iconic picture, I should have sent it in for me so you guys could see, of her leaving her divorce lawyer, like, throwing her hands up.
And we remember all that she had to go through. She had to get a new cell phone, sneak out just to get Katie Holmes did, had to get a new cell phone and sneak out of the marriage because he's such a nice person.
Craziness.
Are you talking about Tom Cruise?
We have like 30 seconds left. We don't really have predictions for the show. It's a documentary series. However, they did play a trailer, kind of a teaser, saying that they're going to be really tackling the sort of financial aspect. They're going to keep digging into the tax exemption sort of part, which is very exciting. And kind of a different angle than we've seen these last two seasons. But I'm really excited for more. Thank you guys so much for joining us.
Yes.
Guys.
This has been great. This has been a very productive conversation.
If anyone follows you this week, make sure you let us know next week.
Where can they follow you on social media?
You can find me at Sean Paul Payton. That's SEANPAULPAYTON on all social media. Tom Cruise, DM me. We'll talk soon.
I'm Jackie Ray. You can follow me on all things social media at JRayTheFanatic.
You guys can find me on Twitter, @Alphaba_Ann, and on Instagram at @Taylor_Gates_. Thank you guys so much for joining us, and we will see you next week. Bye, Tom.
See you.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.